The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink it and criminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Tuesday, September 11th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And for our top story today, Al-Qaeda terrorist mastermind Osama bin Laden is still dead. Welcome to the show, everybody. Glad you could make it here. Joining us from our virtual studio in Grass Story, Oregon, we have our lovely cannabis Carrie taking care of the news. How you doing, Carrie?
I'm doing good. That's some refreshing news, Russ. A zombie bin Laden sounds pretty terrifying.
Yeah, we don't want any zombie bin Ladens. And, of course, hat tip to the great Chevy Chase for our opening line today. Carrie takes care of our 420 headline news, which you get to right after the first break. What do we have in headlines today, Carrie?
Well, as we are counting down closer to the elections, some of those financials from some of the ballot measures is coming in. We're going to look at the ballot measure from Massachusetts, their medical marijuana state, and let you know how that's shaping up. Also, a children's advocacy group in the state of Washington is throwing their support behind the legalization effort there. We're going to go to Springfield, Missouri, where the city council is planning on overturning a citizens initiative about decrim measures. But first up, we're going to talk about how many dispensaries there are in Los Angeles, because the new study gives us some solid answers.
All right. Looking forward to that right after this first break. Also coming up on the show today, we're going to go behind the headlines all the way across the pond to Great Britain. I'm going to take a look at a report coming out of The Guardian UK talking about an increase in gun violence and a call for upgrading cannabis to the most restrictive category of drugs in the United Kingdom. We'll talk about that after our news segment. Then it'll be 20 after time for our Daily Toker Tunes on Electric Tuesday today, bringing you some great electronic dance music from B6. The song is called The Blind Leading the Blist. Should be interesting. At half past, we're going to do a little legalization lesson. I'm going to teach you a little bit about how to use some online resources to make the case for marijuana legalization and to debunk prohibitionist talking points. And at the end of the show, time for a little bit of a radical rant. We're going to take a look at something we talked about hour two yesterday, and that is whether or not you should vote third party to send a message to Barack Obama about his treatment of medical marijuana patients. All that and more coming up on hour one of the Russ Belville Show. And stick around for hour two, Toker Talk Radio, where we take your live calls at 971-533-7111. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show live on RadicalRust.com, TheWeedBlog.com, Pot.tv, and MikeCan.net. Stick around.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow.
17 states and the District of Columbia have legalized the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. Over 70% of the American public supports the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. What does Governor Mitt Romney think of medical marijuana?
So medical marijuana is legal in Colorado. One of our viewers, Bill Ferguson, asked, should marijuana be legalized for medical use?
Aren't there issues of significance that you'd like to talk about?
The medicinal use of marijuana is a significant issue to the millions suffering from cancer, AIDS, and other chronic pain, nausea, spasticity, and seizure disorders.
I think marijuana should not be legal in this country. I believe it's a gateway drug to other drug violations. The use of illegal drugs in this country is leading to terrible consequences in places like Mexico and actually in our own country.
Okay.
I oppose legalization of marijuana.
And now it's time for our 420 headline news with News Director Cannabis Carey.
The number of dispensaries operating in Los Angeles has been called into question by a recent study by UCLA public policy researcher Bridget Friesler. She found that the city has 472 dispensaries operating in the city of Los Angeles, about half as many as the LA City Attorney's Office has been reporting. Her study, that was funded by the National Institute of Drug Abuse, suggests that the city council has been overstating the number of operating dispensaries by more than double, as they have been widely reporting that there is as many as 1,046 dispensaries operating in LA. Friesler used just the city's data to come to her conclusions. Just last month, the city attorney's office claimed to have sent out warning letters about the city's most recent ban attempt of medical marijuana dispensaries to 1,774 locations, but they said the number was actually about 1,046, since some of the letters were doubled by being sent to landlords as well as tenants. The LA City Council passed a ban on dispensaries that was supposed to go into effect on September 6th, making the claims that dispensary numbers had gotten out of control. The ban is currently on hold in the wake of a city referendum on the ballot in November, asking the voters to overturn that ban. A Seattle nonprofit dedicated to child advocacy has come out in support of Washington's I-502 initiative to legalize marijuana for adults. The Children's Alliance Deputy Director John Gould says that his organization is endorsing legalization due to the severe racial disparity in drug law enforcement. He told the Seattle Times that the status quo is not working for children, particularly children of color, and that the public policy ought to move us further towards racial equality and justice. Gould says that Initiative 502 is one step forward to that goal. Gold notes that disproportionate enforcement leads to harms for children when their parents are subject to the second-class citizenship endured by people with drug convictions. Also, the Washington Association for Substance Abuse and Violence Prevention officially came out against I-502, claiming that youth typically get adults to buy them alcohol from stores and would do the same with marijuana under legalization. The city of Springfield, Missouri has been considering lowering the penalties for marijuana possession after a successful citizen initiative put it before the council. 2 weeks ago, the Springfield City Council approved that citizen initiative ordinance to reduce marijuana crime penalties to just a $150 fine in the city. It would bar police from arresting anyone for marijuana possession only and for sending those cases to a state court. At that time, many of the council members said that they would repeal the new ordinance as soon as possible, and at a meeting this week, they heard from 18 people who were critical of the city council for their oppositional stance on decriminalizing marijuana in their city. Many warned that the city council was repealing the citizen initiative and were ignoring the wishes of the voters. Now that the council has heard the arguments against repealing the ordinance, they will vote on that matter at the next meeting in 2 weeks. And one last one, Massachusetts voters will get to vote on whether to allow medical marijuana in their state in the November election. The group behind the effort, the Committee for Compassionate Medicine, has filed their financials as required just 60 days before the election. They have raised $512,860 since January, with the bulk of that money, $465,000, coming just from one out-of-state donor, Peter Lewis, the retired CEO of Progressive Insurance. Lewis is well known for giving money to pass cannabis law reforms. A large chunk of that money, $235,000, was spent on consulting fees. The group opposing the measure, the No on Question 3 Committee, has raised $600 since January and only from two donors. Massachusetts Family Institute Director Chris Manu said, who is one of those donors, said that the heavy out-of-state spending proves that the initiative is not based in Massachusetts. A recent poll found that 58% of respondents favored medical marijuana in Massachusetts, and only 27% were opposed. Governor Deval Patrick has declined to comment on the ballot question, saying he would defer the matter to the voters.
Thanks, Carrie. Got another story here. Non-medical growth site mold levels dangerous in Colorado. Researchers from the National Jewish Health measured the mold found at 30 illegal marijuana growth sites seeking to determine health risks to first responders that might encounter the grows. Dr. John Martini found levels that were sometimes as high as 100 times the recommended safety level and occasionally so high they exceeded his instrument's measurable range. It should be noted that none of the 30 sites tested were licensed legal medical grows. Short-term exposure to such high-level of mold are not an immediate risk to healthy people, but children, seniors, and those with compromised immune systems may be at risk. However, Dr. Martini tells the Denver Post that as many as 70% of the homes where these grow sites operated would cause serious health concerns for anyone living in the home. The study was done in association with the Colorado Drug Investigators Association, the Colorado Association of Chiefs of Police, and the County Sheriffs of Colorado. And that is your 420 headline news for today, Tuesday, September 11th, 2012. We'll be right back with Behind the Headlines. We're going to take a look at headlines in the United Kingdom. The Guardian UK claiming increase in gun violence due to the cannabis trade. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back after these messages.
I don't like it personally, but it's time for a conversation about legalizing marijuana. It's a multi-million dollar industry in Washington State and we get no benefit. What if we regulate it? Have background checks for retailers, stiff penalties for selling to minors. We could tax it to fund schools and healthcare, free up police to go after violent crime instead. And we would control the money, not the gangs. Let's talk about a new approach, legalizing and regulating marijuana.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
I said, hey, do you have a joint can? Sure would be a lot cooler if you did. Lie to don't hide it.
Welcome back, everybody. Behind the headlines here on the Russ Belville Show, we're going to take a deeper look into one of the stories that made the news today. And this one I caught out of The Guardian UK. Now, if you don't know about the United Kingdom and their newspaper coverage of the cannabis issue, and remember, they call it cannabis there in the UK, which is, you know, actually more proper. They have all sorts of funny things that they'll say there, too. They call them cannabis factories. When they find a grow site, an indoor grow site, it's not a grow site. It's not a grow house. It's not a marijuana garden. It's a cannabis factory. It's this big, scary thing. So I got this note from The Guardian. I got this this story from The Guardian UK about marijuana turf wars leading to gun violence. Now, this top organized crime cop in Britain thinks that marijuana should be punished even more harshly, because he's complaining that it causes more problems for society than the most strictly prohibited Class A drugs. Now, in the United Kingdom, they don't have Schedule 1, Schedule 2 like we have under our Controlled Substances Act, but they have something similar. They have what's called a Misuse of Drugs Act, and they specify three classifications, Class A, Class B, Class C. Now, in this classification, Class A are the most dangerous, most prohibited drugs. So heroin, for example, would be a Class A drug. Class B drugs are still illegal drugs, but less strictly punished and controlled than Class A. And then Class C drugs are the lowest level of controlled substances there in the United Kingdom. Things like Xanax and Ambien end up in Class C. Now, the status of cannabis has been kind of a political hot potato in the United Kingdom in that originally it was a Class B drug. But then in 2004, they downgraded it to a Class C drug. They put it in the lowest restrictive category after numerous scientific inquiries showed that it was miscategorized, that it had no purpose being put there alongside the other Class B drugs. However, 5 years later in 2009, there was a new administration ushered in into the United Kingdom, a new Home Secretary, Jackie Smith, I believe is her name, and they rejected all of the advice of the scientific community, including Professor David Nutt, who was one of the strongest proponents of keeping marijuana as a Class C drug, and re-upgraded it back to Class B. They say, oh, the deadly skunk. That's the other thing they've got in the United Kingdom, too. The deadly skunk weed, as if it's different than marijuana. The deadly skunk that causes psychosis and kills 30,000 people a year. That's literally some of the headlines that you get in the UK, right? Because of all of this fear-mongering in the papers and misunderstanding about cannabis and the political pressures, they re-upgraded cannabis to a Class B drug. So that's where it stands now. And this top cop, this guy, his name was Assistant Chief Constable Andy Ward of the Merseyside Police. Okay. And he works in the Organized Crime Division and he's, you know, working on these cases. And he says it's not strict enough. It's causing more problems than Class A drugs. Here's his quote from The Guardian. He says, a lot of these shootings are linked to activity around cannabis. We are seeing big increases in cannabis production on Merseyside. Individual groups are fighting turf wars. We have huge issues around cannabis, end quote. And to back him up, he points out that the shooting statistics in the United Kingdom there, the shootings in the Merseyside area have increased over one third since April. Now, that's always kind of a misleading statistic because there aren't that many shootings in the United Kingdom. It's not like America where we have, you know, five digits worth of gun deaths every year. No, there they have maybe 100 or 200. You know, it's not very common for people to be shooting guns at each other. So, yeah, it went up by a third. But, you know, how low was it before? I mean, they're making a mountain out of a molehill here by saying it went up by a third. Like, for example, if there were three shootings and then the next year there were four shootings, it would have gone up by a third. OK, so let's take that with a grain of salt. But this assistant Chief Constable Ward goes on to point out the ease with which these criminals can produce cannabis. The thriving trade in this non-toxic herb has produced over 5,000 indoor grow sites, or as they call them, cannabis factories, with an estimated annual yield of 560 million pounds over the past 3 years. Not pounds of weed like how much you weigh, but British pounds, which are like worth what, $2 now? So we're talking over $1 billion, if we translate it to dollars, over $1 billion over 3 years in Britain in the cannabis trade. But what's surprising to me is how this constable did not express any opinion as to why so many Britons are demanding marijuana. Why do they want it so badly? Whether it's Class C or Class B. Some reason it was down to Class C, people wanted it. Now you moved it up to Class B, people want it. And meanwhile, you're not seeing the same attendant levels of violence with respect to the trade in other illegal drugs, even Class A substances. So the question exists, why do Britons want to get high on weed? Maybe it's because they're smart enough to realize that it's a safe, non-toxic, low side effect, low risk of dependence alternative to the alcohol that Britain is so soaked in. You got to ask Constable Ward why pub owners aren't shooting each other over their beer turf. Why is that deadly, addictive drug able to be dispensed in pubs all throughout Britain, and yet people that want to grow cannabis, people that want to use cannabis, are somehow criminals that must be repressed? We got to put this in the highest level of dangerous addictive drugs. It's time that the United Kingdom took the advice of Professor David Nutt and recognized the facts are in. Cannabis is far safer than horseback riding. Cannabis is far safer than just about any activity you could put out there. Far safer than drinking, far safer than cigarettes, far safer than ecstasy, any of the other drugs that are out there. It's time in the United Kingdom to meet science. Hey folks, you know what that time means. It's 20 after the hour here. 420 for our friends in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Bangor, Maine. Thanks for joining us here. If you got them, smoke them. We'll be right back after this with your Daily Toker Tunes.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Dear Mom, when I was in college, I used to drink a lot. It was kind of crazy. But now that I'm older, I prefer to use marijuana. It's less harmful to my body, I don't get hungover, and honestly, I feel safer around marijuana users. I hope this makes sense, but if not, let's talk. I love you.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005. The Russ Belville Show. Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting-edge genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our daily Toker tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your daily Toker tune.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a relaxing break. And we're going to bring to you now some electronic dance music, picking this up off of the IOTA promo net, as I do quite often. And today's song, we've got a daily Toker tune. Oh, I got to get the right cover up here because this is some electronic music that I found off of a sampler on the IOTA promo net. And the group here, the DJ, I should say, is named B6. And I thought this guy's story was quite interesting because B6 apparently he's 27 years old and he's the top Chinese DJ. He's based out of Shanghai, and his music has been heard on all sorts of recorded TV, movie stuff that we have covered. You can get more information on this at our blog at radicalrust.com. You can also find downloads for all of the songs, almost all of the PodSafe songs that we play here on our daily Toker tunes. Just go to radicalrust.com, and you look over on the menu on the far right. You'll find show posts, and below that, Toker Tunes, which will give you the library of all the tunes that we have brought you here on the Russ Belville Show. Let's get right to it. This is B6 with Blind Leading the Blist on your daily Toker Tunes. Rough music from B6 on our Electric Tuesday Daily Toker Tunes. Check out RadicalRust.com. Look at the show posts, Toker Tunes menu to get your downloads from the IOTA PromoNet. We're right back with a little bit of legalization lessons. Going to take a look at the Bureau of Justice statistics and how to learn about marijuana arrest data in the United States. Stick around.
Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information.
Yar, the Army Pirates here. Har, 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 har.
Reforming America's prohibition laws cannot happen without relentlessly and directly engaging our lawmakers and other elected officials. The Russ Belville Show keeps you on top of all the latest developments at the federal, state, and local level with our government at work.
Welcome back, everybody. It is 30 after the hour here, and today's segment, we're going to take a look at your government at work in one of the ways that maybe you didn't realize it was working for you, and that is providing the statistics and information we need to help make our case to end adult marijuana prohibition. One such place that we can go that our government funds, that your taxpayer dollars helps keep track of, is from the Office of Justice Programs. This is part of the United States Department of Justice, and it's the Bureau of Justice Statistics. Now, the website address, I'm going to type this up here on the screen so that you can get a look at it. It's kind of a lot of alphabet soup here in it, but it's the Bureau of Justice Statistics, so you can find it at BJS. No jokes there, Brian, no jokes. BJS.OJP, Office of Justice Programs, .USDOJ, right, United States Department of Justice, .gov. So if you can find that website, we've got it up on the screen right now, BJS.OJP.USDOJ.gov. That'll be on the screen there for a while so that you can get that written down. But again, Bureau of Justice Statistics, if you just go to Google and type in Bureau of Justice Statistics, you will probably find this website. And this is going to be a very useful site when you're trying to make the case about the trends in arrests, the data having to do with people that have been arrested for marijuana possession, marijuana cultivation, and so forth. So I'm going to give you a look at this screen. So let me switch screens here real quick, and we will show you the Bureau of Justice Statistics, that's hard to say sometimes, website. There we go, Bureau of Justice Statistics website. Let's see if I can widen that out a bit for you. Okay, so at the Bureau of Justice Statistics website, and I'll clear some of these graphics so that you can see what we're talking about, you'll be presented with this screen, Bureau of Justice Statistics. You can kind of follow my mouse, and there's a menu sections and so forth that you can go through and look for information. So if you haven't seen this site, you haven't gotten to it yet, bjs.ojp.usdoj.gov. Now, let me provide a little magnification on this so you can actually see what we're doing here. So here we go. Bureau of Justice. Oh, I got to get that that background out of the way. There we go. Bureau of Justice Statistics, Office of Justice Programs. And this is what we're going to look for. And there's all sorts of publications that you can look for, or topics having to do with capital punishment, prison rate, recidivism, corrections, courts, so much information that you might want. And of course, the one that would be useful to us would be over here under crime type, and you'll find drugs and crime. So we'll give that a little click here, drugs and crime, and see what we get from the Bureau of Justice Statistics. Now, give you all sorts more information. Drugs are related to crime in multiple ways, and they list about different drug and crime facts. Drug-defined offenses, that would be violations of laws that have to do with the possession, manufacture, distribution of illegal drugs. So drug-defined offenses are breaking the drug laws themselves. You actually have drugs, or you're making drugs. Drug-related offenses that they track are offenses in which the drug's pharmacological effects contribute to the crime. Right. So, for example, drinking a whole lot of alcohol and then you got, you know, drunk out of your mind and wrecked your car, that contributed to the crime of drunk driving. It contributed to the crime of perhaps, you know, negligent homicide. Who knows? Offenses, also what are counted as drug-related offenses, are those that are motivated by the user's need for money to support continued drug use. that's the typical example of, you know, the heroin addict who's, you know, knocking over a liquor store so he can get money, so he can buy more heroin, right? And then offenses connected to drug distribution itself. For example, you get in a drug turf war and you shoot one of your opponents, right? That was motivated by the drug business. So not only are they keeping track of drug-related, drug-defined offenses, you know, breaking the drug laws, but also crimes that are committed because of prohibition. It, really, it shouldn't be called drug-related offenses. It should be called prohibition-related offenses. But anyway. And then finally, they keep track of something called the drug-using lifestyle. Drug use and crime are common aspects of a deviant lifestyle. Drug use is part of a deviant lifestyle. The likelihood and frequency of involvement in illegal activity is increased because drug users may not participate in the legitimate economy and are exposed to situations that encourage crime. Exactly. Like I point out, there are no such things as tequila dealers. There are no tequila wars. There are no fights over tequila turf. Right. They're pointing out that, yes, a drug using lifestyle does involve being an outlaw living on the underground. So let's take a look at this a little bit more in depth. They've got all these different terms and they tell us about these different facts. But if you were going to get some information on this, you might be disappointed to find that the most recent press release they've had, most recent publication, I should say, comes from 1989. So I don't know how useful that date is going to be, you know, being 23 years old. You can also look up data tables if there were some, or press releases if there were some, but neither exist under this category. And this brings up something that happens a lot when you're trying to do this drug war research. And that is, you'll run into these roadblocks, you run into these dead ends, and you know it's in there somewhere, you know the data's there somewhere, but for some reason it's not where you think it's going to be. So folks, don't give up. If you're studying this stuff, don't give up, because if you keep looking around, oftentimes you can find what you're looking for. So as we go around more of these menus and choices that are up on the top here, I'll show you one that could be very useful. Let's go back to the homepage, Bureau of Justice Statistics homepage. And here's some new releases that they'll show. Some of the most recent things, victimizations not reported to the police, things like, you know, how many rapes were there that the police don't know about, for example, while they're out busting potheads. But the tool that I find most useful on this Bureau of Justice Statistics page is over here on the right. You will find a section called Data Analysis Tools. And this one link right here, the Arrest Data Analysis Tool, we're going to click on that one. This gives us a tool that allows us to build tables and graphs for arrests for the 30-year period from 1980 to 2009. You want to see how much drug crime arrests have gone up over that time? This is where we can find that information out. So we'll take a look at the national estimates to start. And that brings us up submenus, annual tables, graphs by sex, trend tables by sex, graphs by race, trend tables by race. But let's start at the beginning with the annual tables. So this gives you even more options to break down. You can pick a particular year, you know, how many arrests were there. And you can select by age for females, males, by age or by race, etc. So let's take a look at the most recent year they have, 2009, and see by age how people have been arrested. Clicking on generate results is going to take us a little bit of time here. It's going to load up a table. It's getting all that data together for us. Slower than I would have appreciated, but it's coming along here. Generating the results for 2009 annual tables, offenses by age. So you can list here, and here is the data of every type of offense they categorize. All offenses. There were 13,689,216 arrests last year, or 2009, we should say, the most recent year that we have data for. And then you can break that down. Murder, rape, robbery, assault, burglary, larceny, arson, embezzlement, prostitution, and here we get to drug abuse violations. Now, when we look at drug abuse violations, and understand this is all drugs, folks. This is all of them. Not just cannabis, but heroin, PCP, etc. 1.66 million arrests in this country for drug abuse violations. And again, these are the violations of the drug laws themselves, not people that committed crimes because of being on drugs. 1.6 million arrests for drugs last year, or 2009 again, out of 13.6 million arrests overall. That works out to about 1 out of 12 arrests in America, maybe 1 out of 13, for drugs. And of those 1.6 million arrests, look at this number here, possession, 1.3 million. 1.3 million possession arrests out of 13 million total arrests. Oh, I'm sorry, I was wrong on my math on that previous one, wasn't I? It had been more like 1 out of 9 arrests are for drugs. 1 out of 10 arrests for mere possession of drugs. 1 out of 10 arrests of all ages, all people, arrest for drugs. And that's our government's numbers here. This is coming right from your own local police departments. This is coming right from our own government. How many people they're arresting. Now, this gets more scary as you start to look at some of the other graphs that we can pull out here. Trend graphs by race. This is going to give us a look at what has happened for all races. Let's start with all races. And adults only. Let's just go with adults for now, just to do something different. So all races, adults, and we can scroll down through the offenses and we can find drug abuse violations. So now we're going to graph out what has happened over time to all races of adults in the drug abuse arrest category. Here we go. Make the rates graph. Folks, that's your graph right there. Of the increase in arrest rate, not overall arrest, arrest rate, because you got to account for the fact the population goes up and, you know, so far. These are arrests per 100,000 persons for drug abuse. Starting in 1980, around 300 people out of 100,000, so 3 out of 1,000, or 0.3% of all arrests were for drug abuse. As we've moved into the 2000s, it's above 600. The rate of drug abuse arrests now compared to 1980 is twice as great as it was back in 1980. Of course, this is the graph for all races, right? You have any idea what it's going to do when I switch this over to just black? Let's check that out. Make rates graph. Arrests per 100,000 persons for black people, black adults in the United States, above 500 per 100,000, above 0.5%, closer to maybe 0.6, 0.7% there. And now as high, well, it's declined over time now. It's about 1750 per 100,000. Remember, when it was listed for all races, it was 0.3% and 0.6% we were talking about. Now we're talking 1.75% for black folks alone. This is some of the information you can get from the Bureau of Justice Statistics page. I, again, encourage you to check this out at bjs.ojp.usdoj.gov if you really want to learn more about this. Because if you're going to be a fighter for ending marijuana prohibition, understand that we have truth, facts, logic, and reason on our side. But also understand that when we're making this fight, a lot of people are going to discount us just for the fact that we support legalization. They're not going to give our message as much weight, as much seriousness, because we're stoners. So come at them with their own numbers. Come at them with the absolute guaranteed bona fide government statistics from the police themselves when you make your case. And show people how they can do it themselves. Remember, you teach a man to fish, he eats for a lifetime. Teach someone how to do this research, spread this knowledge around.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show.
Be right back with a radical rant. We're going to talk about third party voting in the United States. Stick around, the Russ Belville Show.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Tokers. There's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
You want answers?
I was mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Welcome back, everybody. 46 after the hour, and today I want to go back to a subject that we got into based on a chat that was going on in our chat room. And if you haven't gotten into our chat room, make sure you check it out. You can go to RadicalRust.com. We got pop-up windows for the chat. It's through the Ustream chat service, so you will have to create yourself a Ustream account. All you got to do is type /login. On our chat, and it will help you get through logging in or creating an account if you need one. We get a lot of discussions on our chat room in Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, and yesterday people were talking about voting third party. And part of this had to do with displeasure at Barack Obama, our president, for his seeming promises to leave medical marijuana alone, and yet his continued attacks on medical marijuana in the meantime. In fact, statistics show that as far as medical marijuana raids go, Barack Obama is worse than both George W. Bush and Bill Clinton combined, right? He's been in 4 years worse than the 12 years of those two presidents during the medical marijuana era, of course. Clinton, you know, had two terms, but still, during that 12 years that medical marijuana existed under Clinton and Bush, far more raids under Obama. Now, to be slightly fair to Obama, There is more medical marijuana to raid now, right, than there was during Bush or Clinton. Because after the Holder memo came out, after Obama campaigned in 2008 and said that he would have more pressing priorities for the Justice Department to go over, well, the medical marijuana movement kind of exploded in Colorado and California and even to some extent here in Oregon, Washington, and some of the other medical marijuana states. So, to be fair, there may be more to bust now. However, Barack Obama has instituted in the head of the Drug Enforcement Administration, Michelle Lenhart, the same administrator who was acting under the George W. Bush administration. So we'd hope for some change there. We didn't get any change there at the head of the DEA. And of course, Michelle Lenhart is a person who has remarked about the 50 or 60,000 dead in Mexico as a signpost of success in our fight against the cartels because they're acting out like caged animals. I bet some Mexican mothers would disagree about the deaths of their children being a signpost of success. And of course, Obama has laughed us off numerous times, 10 by my latest count, whenever there's been an opportunity, some sort of public forum, Obama's either laughed at our questions, ignored our questions, not had the questions brought up. So I understand the medical marijuana community, particularly in California and to some extent in Colorado. I completely understand why you're upset at Obama and why you would want to vote or to not vote for him in the upcoming election, or even vote against him. Today, I'd like to talk a little bit about that because we went over this in Hour 2 yesterday, and I would like to convince you that if you are living in Colorado, that would be a very big mistake. If you are living in Nevada, that would be a very big mistake. If you're living in any one of what are now 6 swing states, it would be a very big mistake to not vote for Barack Obama. Now, let me get into this a little bit. First of all, one of the things I base this on is just simple electoral math. The facts exist that either Barack Obama or Mitt Romney is going to be the president of the United States. That is the way it's going to come down. And right now, I'm looking at a website that's called electoralvote.com, electoral-vote.com. And regardless of how we would like our democracy to work, the way that it does work is that we have an electoral college where every state gets a number of electoral votes equal to the representation in the House and the Senate combined. So, for example, Oregon has 7 electoral votes because we have 5 representatives and 2 senators, right? California has 55 electoral votes because it has 53 representatives and 2 senators, right? So everybody's got these electoral votes. And with the exception of the state of Nebraska, and I think Maine, but don't hold me to that, but at least with the exception of Nebraska, all the states are winner-take-all states. If your state votes for Obama, all of its electoral votes go to Obama. Except, again, Nebraska, where in the last election, they proportioned their electoral votes by their voting districts. And I believe McCain got a couple of those electoral votes. Split the state. Anyway, fact is, in most states, all your electoral votes are going to the person who wins your state. So as we look at this electoral race, right now the pollsters are showing Obama with a 332 to 206 lead over Mitt Romney. Now, again, when I bring up this subject, we've all got to agree on a singular point, and that is either Barack Obama or Mitt Romney will be president come November. I know there's a lot of third party supporters out there. I know there's a lot of fans of Governor Gary Johnson. I know there are even fans of Dr. Jill Stein and the Green Party. And I understand your want to vote for third parties to end this Democratic-Republican duopoly over our political process. I believe it's a shame and a disgrace to our democracy that the presidential debates are controlled by the Republican and Democratic Party, and they exclude third-party candidates like Governor Johnson and Dr. Stein. However, the way the situation exists right now, one of these two men will be president. If you cannot admit that, if you cannot come to that conclusion, then we can't continue this discussion because you're not operating in reality. I'm sorry. I would say this to Jim Gray's face. I would say this to Governor Johnson's face. I wouldn't say they shouldn't run. No, absolutely. Please do run, because we need people heading up third parties and we need third party participation. We need to build third parties at the grassroots. I completely agree with that. And running your campaign as a way of getting the message out there and getting people to talk about the things that the Republicans and Democrats won't talk about is absolutely a valid exercise of our democracy. 100% agree. Not talking about that. I'm talking about intelligent voting. So right now, as we look down this electoral map, this website, electoral-vote.com, does a good job of coloring in red or blue the different states based on where they lean. And as we look at this now, we see that there are shaded from blue to light blue to white to light red to red, how strongly Obama or strongly Romney a state may be. So the dark red states, they are going to vote for Romney. There is no way in hell Romney will not win that state. For example, the state of Utah, with 6 electoral votes, is strongly Republican. Obama is polling at 26%. Romney is polling at 68%. And the state has elected Republicans in every election since 1992. And that's as far back as this site goes. So there's no chance in hell Barack Obama is going to win Utah. By comparison's sake, we'll run over here to the state of Minnesota. Minnesota is strongly Obama, strongly Democratic. 50% Obama is polling in Minnesota versus 40% for Romney. And again, if we look at all of the elections since the first Clinton term, it has voted Democratic, Obama, Kerry, Gore, Clinton in every election. It's not going to go to Romney. No chance in hell. But then some of these states are closer, some of these light states. And again, we look over some of the medical marijuana states are lighter. State of Oregon, Obama's running 50 to 42. State of Michigan, Obama's running 50 to 45. State of New Mexico, Obama's running 45-40. These are all medical marijuana states. Now, I still think it's likely he's going to win those states, but if I were living there, I wouldn't want to see my vote going to some other party and perhaps costing Obama a vote that would lead to Romney being the president. And again, here's point number two, that if we can't agree on this, we can't have this discussion. We must agree that regardless of what Barack Obama has done in medical marijuana or in the marijuana issue, he's better on it than Romney would be. Maybe there's some disagreement on that. Maybe you can talk to me an hour or two, Tucker Talk Radio. We'll take your calls. Maybe you've got a scenario where Romney would be a better president on medical marijuana than Obama would be. If you do, I'd like to hear it. But as far as I'm concerned, when Romney says, when he's turning his back on medical marijuana, he literally turned his back on a patient in New Hampshire that tried to ask him a question. When he tells a reporter in Colorado that medical marijuana is not an issue of significance, and when he says he will fight medical marijuana tooth and nail and that marijuana should never be legalized, I'm willing to stick with the devil I know. I'm willing to stick with Barack Obama because I believe at least there's a chance in hell his position can be moved on it. And now we go to two medical states where it is so close, it is barely Democratic. In Nevada, with 6 electoral votes, Obama 49, Romney 46. Colorado, with 9 electoral votes, Obama 49, Romney 46. And when we look at these states and we look at their polling and Governor Johnson's name is added into the mix, we find that Governor Johnson pulls more votes from Obama, probably protest votes, than he pulls from Romney. So you have to ask yourself, is voting third party this time worth it? Now, I know I get a lot of people that say, well, I can't, you know, give him my support when he's done such a terrible thing on medical marijuana. I understand your feelings on that. And I hear people say, we got to teach him a lesson. We got to show him. We got to show Barack Obama what a terrible thing he's done. He lost our support. We'll show him. Well, think about that for a second. How in the hell are you going to show Barack Obama anything if he's not in power? Or better yet, let me put it this way. Suppose you did teach Barack Obama a lesson and he lost the election. Now what can he do for you? Right? He's not president anymore. He's out of office. He's an American citizen like you and me. Yeah, not quite, but I mean, in that he'll have more power, not that he's not an American citizen. Obviously, he's a citizen. Hawaii is a part of America, even though Coleco thinks it shouldn't be. But that's a whole nother rant. but what good are you going to do if Obama loses? What lesson is he going to learn? And if Obama doesn't lose, if he goes on to win the election, what lesson will he have learned? Because he will have learned that even if medical marijuana people are pissed at him, he can still win. So I don't see how he can learn any lesson about medical marijuana, win or lose. If he loses, he may learn the lesson, but then what good is it? Now, I guess some people would say, well, then we can, you know, hold the other politicians' feet to the fire. Then they'll know. Then they will know that they have to take us seriously. Okay, great. But that lesson won't take effect until 2016 for the next presidential election, will it? Are you willing to go through another 4 years of George W. Bush economics to teach Barack Obama a lesson while he sits home in Chicago? I don't think it's very smart or pragmatic. Again, go to electoral-vote.com. Look up your state. If it's solid red or solid blue, vote for anybody you like. Vote for Mickey Mouse. Vote for Roseanne Barr. Doesn't matter. Vote for anybody because your state's already picked. It's already going to Obama. It's already going to Romney. But if you're in one of those swing states, Nevada, Colorado, Iowa, Wisconsin, Virginia, or Florida, you need to take a serious look at whether you want to send some sort of protest vote that ends up getting you a President Romney. All right, I'm Radical Russ, and for Brian the Red and Cannabis Carry, thanks for joining us here for the Russ Belleville Show. Stick around for hour two. Toker Talk Radio is up next, where we take your calls at 971-533-7111. You can find our blog at RadicalRuss.com. Check out our new Android app. Yeah, we got an Android app. It's in the Android Google Play Market. Just look for Russ Belleville Show. You'll find it. And until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.